The Nature Journal is brought to you by SAPI in the interest of conserving our planet and enriching and empowering all South Africans.
Well, of course, we're chatting to Dr. Kevin Winter, and we chatted to Kevin a couple of weeks ago, and it was all around the Peninsula paddle. Now, Kevin, how did that go? Because it sounded absolutely fascinating, and the way that the river had recovered in many of the areas. What was this year's paddle like, and was it well supported?
Well, we had lots of people on the trip, which was very encouraging. And to remind listeners, that what we did was put our boats into the water at Muizenberg Beach on the Indian side of the ocean. And the idea is to paddle right the way through across Cape Town, across what's often known as the Cape Flats, using the waterways as our traverse, as our means of getting across from one side to the other. We had 60 people participate, which was wonderful. And 60 is almost the maximum you can take. The one thing about that number is that wonderful to have that support. But as we got to some of these stations, we were always about half an hour late dragging people through the canal. It wasn't all that easy to get them all the way through. But lots of fun. And what surprises me too is that the number of people attracted to this event. So we had officials from the city of Cape Town paddling with us. Obviously lots of environmental consultants in there. But most of all, just citizens who are thinking, this is a cool thing to do. It's a fun thing to do. And it makes a difference within literally a day. The media quite enjoy it too, so lots of fun with the media coming along and building some of the story with us. And if we can make a difference to these rivers on a one-day event, as much as this has done over 4 years, then, you know, all the more power to paddle.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely amazing when I look at the amount of interest that are gauged. And, you know, Les sent me some of the photographs that were up on the site as well, and showed everybody paddling her down, and he knew one of the people and proudly pointed out to them. And then I chatted to some friends of mine who live in Cape Town and said, yep, we actually stood on the side of the road and watched this spectacle going past. People are completely insane, they said. The results of the paddle, is it showing good positive sides?
Well, I think one of the most obvious ones is that the waterways that we use for this paddle have been cleared up and cleaned up hugely. In 2010, when we first did this paddle, we spent most of our time portaging across the different sections of the river. It's filled either with weed, typically water hyacinth, and lots of plastics and bottles. And it's the shame of our society that our waterways have got to that state, particularly in terms of the solid litter and waste that we find in it. Well, we arrived, I guess, at this part of the journey, always able to paddle most of the water. And on the 9th of June, when we did this one, from a reputation perspective, the Black River is one of the worst in Cape Town. And we paddled that river all the way through to the sea, out to sea and up into the Mulleton Lagoon, without stepping out of our kayaks once. And that's simply because lots of work has gone into clearing up the river. So that was very exciting. The water quality in the Black River has also improved greatly too because of an upgrade of a wastewater treatment plant. And there are a couple of other places too in that paddle where the Working for Water project, the Carter Osmond project, which is a mayoral project in the city of Cape Town, sponsors about 200 people who work daily on that river. In fact, in 18 different rivers in Cape Town. And those 200 people are effectively feeding 4 or 5 other mouths. So we've got about 1,000 people who are benefiting from the clearing project, which is very exciting too. So I think when we look at urban rivers, one has to look at the improvement in the conservation and the environment generally that really does characterize this section of the rivers that we've been paddling through. But also the social component's really important, and I'd like to talk a bit more about that a bit later. But just at the immediate thing of creating jobs and improving people's livelihoods, improving their skills, that's a real winner.
How is the social component viewed within this? Is it viewed with circumspect by the communities themselves? Is there an indication that socially things are improving on the side of the banks of the river?
Okay, well, I think that it's probably a little bit too early to talk about the impact of the social component within the study to give a sense of there's clear direction taking place there. Still too early days, but it's an area which we clearly need to work at a lot more. At the moment, I think the approach that we're taking, and let me just remind again listeners that what we're doing when we paddle through the city is we're actually paddling through a fairly divided socioeconomic set of suburbs and townships. One of them is Steenberg, for instance, and Grassy Park area. Those are typical areas which have been victims of apartheid removal systems in the 1960s, and they remain really hotspots socially and economically in the peninsula. So one of the ideas of the Peninsula Paddle idea is to look at this idea of connecting people across the city. Our waterways connect people, and The concept here of building communities around the waterways is one that we want to try to continue in future paddles. So we have identified at least three areas where this connection can be built more strongly. And one of those, for instance, at Princess Flay, where there is a number of grassroots and community-based groups that are trying to work at recognizing the cultural heritage of that site. And it's under a fair amount of fire at the moment because the areas around it may well be turned into a shopping mall in the future. And so it's been really interesting to see the local neighborhood becoming quite strong about protecting that area, about recognizing its cultural heritage. So that for me gives me a huge optimism of groups of people, the voices, different voices coming out on the one side of people who know and want to respect that heritage. And then the other side, you get an investor who says, well, let's build a shopping mall here and maybe the two can come together. And maybe in future we might be able to see that kind of improvement in the management of the area, which sorely needs better management. But to come back to your question more specifically, I think that what we've seen is areas, we identify areas where people can come together and we can build parks around the ecological improvements along those waterways. Those parks have all sorts of services to offer. We need to improve the parkland area and the waterways so that the ecosystem services can become very viable and vibrant contributions to the societies around them. I think that's the way to do it. Trying to deal with the whole waterways or along the lengths of the canals where there is abject poverty alongside the canals is just a step too far at this stage. So let's try and deal with the hotspots that are really viable. There are two or three of them along that route that do need a lot more attention. And we're trying to bring that attention to bear on those areas.
Is this one of the times, Kevin, where we normally go out and we say, let's exclude people, let's improve the landscape, let's make everything all honky-dory and everybody gets their backup? Whereas you've taken a different approach and saying, let's look at those socioeconomic issues, let's sort out the hotspots, and at the end of the day, oh, by the way, chaps, the water that's flowing into the bay is actually a lot cleaner.
Yeah, indeed. I think for us that the social component is crucial. It's the big driver, and you can't bring about the rehabilitation of waterways and improve the ecology of an area unless you have the main behavioral driver with you. And most of our work as scientists is easy because in many ways we have technological solutions or scientific understanding of how to bring things about. It probably represents maybe 10% of the solution to the problem. The behavioral aspect and the societal buy-in into building these waterways and to showing some leadership, showing some initiative, giving some buy-in into the area is the hard work and the one that's going to take a longer time, but it's crucial to making these kind of things happen.
You had a guest on your paddle. How did your guest survive?
Well, the guest was Rian Mansa, and Rian has paddled around Africa. He's paddled around Madagascar, paddled around Iceland as well. And Rion's a great spokesman for fun and adventure. And I think he treated it as a fun adventure. He enjoyed himself thoroughly. He's one of those nice guys. He talks to people along the way. It was really great to have him in the crowd. And I think he slowly began to see what we were trying to do. This is not an easy message to get across to someone who comes in from the outside, who maybe doesn't even know the area particularly well too. And I think he began to see a community at practice. And what I mean by that is a bunch of paddlers from all sorts of walks of life coming together, seeing that there's a particular contribution that they can make in terms of highlighting and make this waterway much more aware and perhaps even helping to build some of the education and knowledge around these waterways. And I think towards the end, he began to see the same picture of this is a potentially a very interesting community project.
2014 going to happen again?
Yes, indeed. Yeah, quite exciting. I think there are a couple of things that came out of this paddle. One is that we had some city officials paddling with us, which I mentioned earlier on, and they want to come back to certain sections of the river where they saw the most potential to build and improve that area. And I mean, build in this sense, to deal with the encroachment of trees in and around some of the waterways where there is, I think, a potential to really restore the ecology of the area and perhaps even build some of the recreational spots around around that. So 2014 must happen for that reason. The city officials need to know that actually this is potentially a huge contribution that can be made to the waterways that have been neglected in a certain area. But the other offer that we had, and we were aware of this before the paddle started, was an offer from an investment company that see this paddle as an opportunity for them to invest their corporate interests. And it's very likely that 2014 will have a slightly different flavor to it, maybe different ways in which we will undertake the paddle. It may not be only in the waterways we've used over the last 4 years. It might involve a couple of other wetlands and other rivers elsewhere in Cape Town. It's possible that we'll be able to get to meet at certain places like the lakes, and those become the places where people paddle, but they can walk or run or cycle to get to those areas. And wouldn't it be amazing if we could have a number of people coming from different parts of Cape Town participating in some exercise, and every now and again there is a requirement where they've got to do the journey in a kayak. And I think that would probably be the way we're going to build this and have greater number of participants. As I said earlier on, 60 in the canal is probably about as much as we can cope with. And there are not a lot of other places and rivers that are actually navigable in Cape Town anyway. So walks, paths, whatever we can do alongside these green corridors in the city are the kinds of focuses that foci that we'd like to put in place. And then maybe we can do something quite exciting about making this an adventure. Maybe we can draw people's attention to areas where there may be birds roosting in certain parts of these rivers. And there could be bird counts. There could be all sorts of citizen data being collected actually as part of the exercise.
When you see Kevin's face, the more he speaks, the more it lights up. And we could have a power failure in here at the moment, and he'd be even more happy. But I think the most important thing here, Kevin, is one, that you guys have done it, and two, that first of all, you got city officials originally to look at the problem and implement the Carter Asmal project. And I think even better is that the guys came with you this year again. They've looked and they've seen and they've identified. And what you're dreaming about here, I can only dream would happen in a place like Gauteng, because we've got cesspools. And wouldn't it be wonderful if these things were changed? And some parts of our rivers in Gauteng are used for training grounds for the doozy, etc. And it's rather sad when you see a sign in our newspaper that says it's advisable for doozy paddlers not to utilize our waterways as training grounds. And I thought, hang on a minute, guys. Look at what's been done in Cape Town. Maybe it needs to be replicated. Go and Google Peninsula Paddle, and you can, in fact, read up and discover more about it. Dr. Kevin Winter, thanks very much for joining us. I always enjoy talking to you.
Thank you very much indeed, Tim.
Here we go, and that was Dr. Kevin Winter, and Kevin is with UCT, and of course, this has come to us with the kind favor of Les Underhill and the guys at the ADU, and all these projects are tremendously important and just a lot of fun as well. Doom and gloom is there, we can't get rid of it, but what we can do is make a difference.
The Nature Journal is an initiative in support of the sustainability of our planet, its people, and prosperity. Brought to you by Sappi, Global Paper, Packaging, and Cellulose Company. Sappi, inspired by life.